Hello, everyone. This is Connie Shaw, your host for Awakening Talks with Compelling People. Tonight, we have part two of In-Home Elder Care with Suzanne Shaw from Danville, Indiana. Suzanne, welcome to the show again. You had so many exciting and very practical things to offer last time that we have had many requests for you to be on the show again. And I'd just like to say how extremely grateful we are. And let's not waste any more time on our introduction. Let's just go for it. Please tell us, if a person has come to live with their parents or has brought a parent into the bosom of the family in their own home, what sorts of organizational processes can that person do to make life easier and more safe and practical for daily functioning with their loved one?
One of the things that so often you want to have not only quality life, if you're going to be in their home or they're going to be in your home, you want quality for you and you want quality for them. And you also want safety.
Yes.
And that's so often we put safety in the home, whether it's our parents' home or your home where they are living, after the fact. And it's usually because, and if you do it ahead of time, it's because your parents had a disaster with their parents. In other words, most of us sort of let it go until, again, we're in crisis mode. So there are a lot of things you can do ahead of time, like taking a look at whether it's, and this is true for whether it's your home or their home, it's take a look at the bathroom. And before they get to the point where they can barely stand up,
mm-hmm.
start looking around the bathroom in their home and your home and say, is it safe? And because it is a process to get grab bars. I know you think, how hard is it to stick a grab bar on the wall? But number one, it's whether it's their home or your home, it's the aesthetics of it. It's who can put on a grab bar and knows how to do it with the safety codes, because you'll find out there are all these safety codes. So you start calling the handyman around the area and the different people that may you think, oh, this contractor surely knows someone, and they say, call Joe, and Joe says, oh, I could do that, but I don't have the specs, or I don't have the license, or I don't have the something. So there is a process just to getting grab bars put on the bathroom wall or in the shower. It's looking to see not only grab bars in the shower or in the bathtub area, but it's also checking ahead of time to see how wide your door is. If you have a newer home, the doors may be a little bit wider. But so often, the doors are too narrow and you're planning to keep your mom or dad in the home, or you're planning to bring to your home, and the homes are too narrow to get a wheelchair into the bathroom, through the bathroom door. There may be enough space to bring the wheelchair in, but you can't get it through the door.
So then do you have to have a walker handy, or do you have to then squeeze in past the elder and then catch them on the other side without falling in the john yourself?
It depends on the situation, because some of the walkers, it's hard to get the walkers through, because some of the older homes, the doors are really very narrow, and you don't realize it until you're stuck with dealing with it. And then
Absolutely.
You're like, what do I do now? Because they're out of surgery, we're trying to finagle them through the door, they want them up walking, they don't really want to use the bedside commode anymore, and so you're in this dilemma of trying to create dignity for them. At the same time, you're like, now what do? We won't fit in the door. And you, the walker, mom or dad, aren't all going through the door at the same time.
Well, Suzanne, here's this very funny picture. So what I'm getting as a concept here is that not only do you have to find somebody to install grab bars in the shower or in the bathtub, but you also could install grab bars on the side of the door jambs on either side or elsewhere in the hallway or in the bathroom, so that they can just go from one grab bar to the next, which acts sort of as a walker.
That can work. It can work. You can also, if you have time, you can also widen the door. If you have time and some money, you can have the door frame altered. That is a possibility. In many homes, you can do that, and it is feasible. So there are ways you can change your bathroom to make it work, or their bathroom to make it work. You also want to be sure that when they tell you so often at the hospital, if they go for any physical therapy or rehab or occupational therapy after a broken something or after a hospital stay, And a hospital stay can just be a week of some trauma, and doesn't have to be a broken bone. But when you come back, they, you know, you're going to, in time, need a higher, a raised toilet. Now, the regular commode is usually much lower to the floor, but you can buy an actual toilet that is higher. It's just a regular toilet. It's just higher. And that's what's in most of your handicap bathrooms.
Right. It's a raised toilet seat that is closer to them so that there's not so much danger of falling and injuring
well,
their back.
Yes. But the ones in the whenever you go to a public place and you go into the handicap stall, that actual toilet is commode is higher. It's higher. It doesn't have anything added to it. It's just literally higher from the floor.
Yes.
If you get, in addition to that, if you need to get something to put on top of the toilet itself, the seat of the toilet itself to lift it up, you're better off, rather than the kind that screw on to the commode, you're better off getting the one that is like a chair. It literally slides over. It has a metal frame, a steel frame. The arms will drop down. It has four legs and a back, and you literally slide it over the top of the toilet, and it has its own toilet seat and toilet lid.
I've seen those. Now, those are available at the handicap stores and the pharmacies with various types of appliances near hospitals, right?
Yes. All of your medical supply places carry them, and Medicare does pay for the majority of them. They're not inexpensive, but they will pay for them, and they'll pay for a new one, I think it's every 3 or 5 years or something like that.
Very good.
That is a safety thing. They have the kind that so often in rehab, that you literally take this raised thing and you tighten it on top of the toilet, the commode itself. Those are not that safe. I can tell you that right now. You really need the one that's like a chair that slides over it. That, to me, it's a lifesaver. You just are saving broken bones by doing that.
Well, now, speaking of saving broken bones, there's something else that comes to mind here, and that is those long shower benches that clamp on the side of the shower where a person can sit inside the bathtub or the shower and just do whatever they need to while they're in the shower. They can soap and they can rinse and they can shampoo their hair and they can clip their toenails and all that.
Mm-hmm. We've had them in this house for probably 7-8 years now.
And that works well for you.
They work really, really well. I like the bench over to the chair. They have a chair and they have a bench. I prefer the bench. It has a back to it.
Yeah.
I think they're more stable and there's less risk of falling. You may have to get change your shower heads so that they're more user-friendly. You may even need to get a handheld shower nozzle attached. There may be some adaptions you need, but those are things to be aware of. But the shower bench, the grab bars, the toilet seat, those are all, you know, so important for the bathroom. You also need to look around. If there's mom's favorite rug that she liked in the bathroom, that may need to go by the wayside, and you may have to convince mom and dad that this is not needed decor anymore.
Because of slipping.
Because of slipping, catching their toe on it. You just have to look around and added extra rugs, things like that. Think ahead. This will save you and them a lot of agony, and you just have to be proactive with that. If you know that you have somebody has, if they're debilitating and you have any steps going out of the garage, you may really, really consider about ramping. Putting a ramp out from the house outside to the garage.
That's pretty easy, isn't it, with just some plywood and a railing?
It is, but you have to have, again, you have to have the right legal specs because the specifications for the grade of it. And so often people try to do them without specs and they're too steep and they fall. Technically it's a ramp, but it needs to go. The one we have that meets the spec goes literally from the door in the garage, it's an attached garage. You go out the kitchen door, and then you go all along to almost the garage door. It slants. It's a long ramp. And we had to do it that way because of the two steps. It took that long to get the legal grade for safety.
I understand.
And so you need to find somebody that will ramp. Put the ramps in that do know the specs or are willing to do it, because there are a lot of people we found out that were willing to just come and do, and then it was because the senior center and somebody else said, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
So just be aware of that.
All right. Well, speaking of ramps and steps and conveying a person throughout the house or the property, what about those elevator chairs that go up and down the stairs along the side rail? Do you have one of those?
We have one of those. We put that in, and, you know, this is tornado area here. Mm-hmm. And it's the sirens go off, and they go off, and they go off, and they go off. And so when you live in Tornado Alley and you have a lower, most people have a lower level and they use it frequently during the tornado season, and at this day and age, it seems like we are having tornadoes in January and February and November and whatnot. But the chairlift, they're about $1,000, give or take. They are so simple. The professionals come in, they put it in, and it's a battery backup as well as electrical hookup, so that no matter what happens, the electricity goes off, you still have use of the chair, and that is essential. And, you know, if you have a house where you have a basement level and then you have an upstairs level, you put two in, put one going to the upper level and one down to the lower level. Ideally, I believe that if there is a sleeping area on the first floor, mm-hmm. When a person gets a certain age, I really believe they need to have that availability of a bedroom on the first floor, because if they have surgery or any hospital stays, they probably are not going to be able to get upstairs, and you want to have accessibility to get them out to the doctors. It's just a lot easier. So that's something to think of if you are having them into your home, or there is a room in your parents' home and they have the sleeping rooms or upstairs. If there is a way to convert a little den or a little office area or an extra room on the first floor into their bedroom, to me, that makes more sense.
Absolutely. And if a person is going to be going to a new location or a new home, they should always think about a master bedroom on the main floor so that they don't have to turn a dining room or a living room into a sick room, which is very difficult and cuts down on privacy and quality of life. Now, that brings me to the next point. What about the organization of the bedroom?
The bedroom, for my father, because he had, with the Parkinson's, it became more and more difficult for him to be able to turn over. Mm-hmm. So we actually have a queen-size lift bed, meaning it's kind of like a hospital bed, but not, but it looks just like a queen-size bed. And we have the headboard and everything else. And as he diminished in health, we had to make space, again, for walkers and chairs and things to be moved up to the side of the bed. But it was essential that we had a lift bed, and those are really important to have, I think, because it, with back problems and neck problems, and just they don't have the strength to turn over, mm-hmm. that having a lift bed is a good thing to think about. It's a good thing to check on. They're not inexpensive, but for a lift, the whole bed itself, it looks like a real bed. I'm not talking about a hospital bed, mm-hmm. but a real bed. Those are not covered by Medicare. Now, that could change in the future, but they aren't now. It's still worth the price, if you can afford it, to figure out how to get one really needs them. Beds, mm-hmm. I was just going to say hospital beds, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you have somebody coming home from the hospital, and my mom came home for back surgery, knew she could not be in the regular queen-size bed, and so it was like a panic, what are we going to do? Hospital beds, if the doctor writes a prescription for it, are covered by Medicare. So you basically rent the hospital bed. They come in, they take the bed out of your parents' room, they will take it to wherever you want, then they set up the hospital bed, and when they will do the whole process in reverse when you no longer need the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something to know about, because that was one of the things I didn't know about, and my mom was coming home, and I'm like, what are we going to do? She can't even turn over. You know, it was like a mess. And she really needed the sidebars on the bed. So we needed an actual hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will, all that can be taken care of, and the cost is covered as long as you get the prescription written. Walkers, I want to say, you know, not just things in the bedroom, but that made me think of the walkers moving around the bed. That's what made me think of that. There are not only the stainless steel walkers that everybody is familiar with, but there are also three-wheel walkers with handbrakes that look like little tricycles. They have baskets and bags on them, so they're like a tricycle without a seat.
Yes.
And there are three-wheel, and there are four-wheel. And the four-wheels do have a seat on them. And those are wonderful. The three-wheel is nice because it will squeeze down mm-hmm. and will go into the bathroom in those narrow doors.
Yes.
So if you have somebody that doesn't need the steel walker and has enough stability, mm-hmm. that they, because not everybody can use them. But if you have, if they have enough stability and they can use the three wheel, the three wheel with the handbrakes is phenomenal because you can squeeze down it down and go through any doorway. And so you can be behind them.
I see. Well, then that reminds me then, do you then whip your walker into the car or the wheelchair? They're both collapsible when you need to take your mother out to the doctor or out for a ride. You have things that collapse easily and are lightweight enough that you can get them into your trunk of your car. Is that right?
Right. We have every form of walker, I think, you can have in the house. We have the three-wheeler, the four-wheel, the steel one with the tennis balls on them, and the rollers, and transfer wheelchair. Having the variety just came about over time.
Well, you know,
it has to be light enough. You have to be light enough that you can pick them up and throw them into the car because you will doing that a lot. Because even if they don't want to go out a lot, you still are going to need to go to doctor's offices and the hospitals for blood tests, various things. So you are going to need to be able to lift them. And these walkers are the three- and four-wheel walkers and the stainless steel, all that is covered by Medicare. And a lot of people, again, don't realize that. For so long, one of my mother's friends kept saying, I love your walker. It's bright turquoise, by the way. I love your walker. I love your walker. And finally, Mom said, well, why don't you get one? And she said, oh, can't afford it. And, you know, my mom said, she called me up because I was in Colorado at the time, and she said, didn't Medicare pay for that? I know I was really sick, but I was sure Medicare did. And I said, yeah, you tell her to call her back and tell her Medicare will pay 100% for it. Just have the doctor write a prescription. And so she ended up, her friend ended up getting the three-wheel walker too. So don't assume that a lot of these things that are costly, even the, we also, lift bed, I'm jumping around here, sorry, but the lift bed for my dad, we also had a lift chair for him. It looks like a Lazy Boy chair. Mm. And that literally moves to a standing position, and it will stretch out like a Lazy Boy, but it's electrical, and it moves them from a sitting to all the way standing, so they don't have to use their strength in their legs to stand all the way up, because on a bad day, he was not able to do that, so he got the lift chair. Well, a portion of that lift chair was paid for by Medicare, as long as the prescription was written.
Great.
And
idea.
Those are things that people don't tell you unless you go ask.
Yes. Well, one thing I would like to say in that vein, Suzanne, is this, that I feel quite certain that since the senior center is the lifeblood of the community for people in your circumstance and situation, there would be lots of people in the senior center that would know where a person would be able to get walkers, crutches, wheelchairs, and all sorts of conveyances and appliances and accoutrements for the person in their home where somebody has made their transition and they have something sitting around in a closet that they don't need, or someone has two of a particular item. Furthermore, I would like to say, too, that I don't think anybody should take no for an answer when they need anything in this situation. So I would suggest that people just send out a prayer to the universe, to God, of their understanding, and just say, for example, I need to have a three-wheel walker with a basket and a seat, and I would like it to be brand new and to function perfectly and be able to fit through all the doors in my house. Or I would like to have donated to our family a lift chair in perfect condition that is clean and that works perfectly for my loved one. Or I would like to have this and that and so on. And when they are clear and precise about what they want, the color they want, the brand they want, how they would like to have it come to them, then the universe will hasten to reply and provide whatever is necessary. There are so many things available through companies that do demos and they give them away to people just because they have that many offerings in their budget, or they do it for promotions, or they do it for publicity in the community, or to try out their new models and so on. There are many, many things people can get for free that are high-end goods. So just become aware and put in your request to the universe, and you will be very surprised that pretty soon it will arrive, and you can just keep doing that all the rest of your life.
It's true. It's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very true.
Okay.
Talking about things being available, I was going to say that for quality care and quality living or having a life, so often people will go short distances with the little, you know, walkers, and they don't always want to be in a transfer wheelchair. What a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, the mobility scooters, There are lightweight mobility scooters now. You can even get them at Sam's Club. However, usually I don't know if it's Sam's Club and Costco whether they will take Medicare, but Medicare will pay for scooters. And a lot of people don't realize that they can even, they don't even go for getting a scooter because they think that they're going to have to pay, all of it or the majority of it. And the truth is, if you are in a condition where the doctor can write a prescription for you to get a scooter, even mm-hmm. if you have a transfer wheelchair and even if you have a walker that they've already paid for, they will also pay for a scooter. And a lot of people don't know that. And the scooters they have today, so you have the heavier ones that you actually need a lift to get in and out of your car. It's an electronic thing that you have to mm-hmm. have put onto the car. Most people have seen those.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into the trunk. I'm not talking about needing the van, the big chairs where you need the van.
Sure.
I'm talking about the smaller scooters where they have a lift that goes onto the back of your car.
Right.
They also have scooters now that come apart. Literally, they come apart. They're like in three or four parts,
mm-hmm.
and that I can take them apart and put them in three or four pieces in the trunk and then reassemble it. It's very quick. It's very fast. And they're lightweight. They're not as heavy duty, but they would work for, if you have somebody, for example, like my mom, that still likes to go to the mall. She likes to go out to eat. And sometimes it's difficult with the walker, with her arthritis, to move even with the walker enough that it would take to get in the restaurant and wander around and get to a chair.
Yeah.
With a scooter, you can quickly pop it out, reassemble it. She can go in the handicapped parking. We go up the little ramp and into the restaurant. And you don't need the heavy-duty piece of equipment that is like a tank. The lightweight ones will work, and they are. It's amazing what they have today, and you can get them in different colors. And so I think that knowing that this is there, and that the scooter that you see that looks like a big chair, and you're like, well, I have to have a van, and we don't have the money to have a van, and you don't need all of that. They've now have it down to where you get lightweight small ones for just that little bit of things, little bit of whatever.
Okay,
because
okay.
It is important they get out and go. And so often
yes.
the walker, you get to the point where a walker, it helps them into the doctor's office, it helps them in the home, but it does, their quality of living to do things they like to go, whether it's go to their, religious affiliation or go to the store, they don't have that.
That is excellent. All that information is excellent. Now, we're in the last 5 minutes. Do you have some other resources or thoughts that you would like to share about making things more safe and comfortable around the house, or anything you'd like to mention regarding medications, anything else regarding home, in-home visitors or nursing care or home health visitors or anything like that?
I was just going to say that the Lifeline, there are different names for them. It's the little thing, most people have seen them advertised on television or on the Internet. It's a little lavalier necklace thing you wear with a push
yes.
button on it.
Yes.
In all of your retirement centers and assisted living places, everybody has them because that's part of the requirement that you have when you go there.
Uh-huh.
But they're not necessarily the best, but they are a help. And so this is something that if like when I do run out to the grocery store and I'm gone for like 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour, I know my mom has that on. So push come to shove, she can push on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it immediately sends a signal. So those having that lavalier with the Lifeline is an asset. And if you see them and they do benefit, they're not necessarily the best, but they will help. And people need to be aware of that. It's one of those things that sometimes you forget about.
Yeah.
Have your phone numbers. Have phone numbers in your cell phone of all the MDs, the hospitals, the senior center, the lawyer, religious affiliation, neighbors' numbers, all of that stuff, your insurance agent. Have all of that in your cell phone. It will save you. You have no idea how much it will save you because I've had it not there and I've had it there. And believe me, you don't have time to look for it because it's in the emergency situation that you usually really need it.
And so that would be, again, doctors, insurance company.
Doctors, insurance company, hospital numbers, senior center, religious affiliation, neighbor's number, because you don't know when you're going to need that extra help. And just have all of that in your cell phone ahead of time. It's a simple thing. It doesn't take very long. but it really, really helps. I think I said this maybe last time we were on talking, that ARP can be a great resource. It can be a real, real resource as far as like playing, what do I do now? What needs to be done? The Senior Center can, but also ARP. They have a lot of information. There's newsletter, but they have hotlines. And they really do know their stuff. And so often people don't use that as a resource. Another resource, any of your retirement centers, if you get in a pinch and you don't know a go-to person, retirement centers, assisted living. I'm not talking nursing home. That counts, but definitely retirement centers and assisted living.
Now, what's the difference between a retirement center?
Well, a retirement center, basically you are renting a house, a small little house, bungalow house, or apartment, one or two bedroom apartment, and you come and go frequently. Probably 90% of them still drive. You go down to the dining room to eat. You don't need a lot of assistance. You may have extra because you want somebody to clean and do your laundry, but that's an extra. You don't have the care with bathing and medications and mobility. When you move into assisted living, they're frequently in the same kind of complex. Assisted living are apartments, one or two bedrooms. They usually have a little kitchenette that, and you decorate it the way you want, just like you would a small house. And the difference is, and they still can go down to the dining room. However, they will help with your medication, with your getting dressed, bathing, medications. They will help you get down to the dining room and get back. And extras, where the retirement part, any people 55 and older frequently can go into a retirement center, and they can be in great health, and they just don't want to worry about anything. They can be snowbirds if they're in the Midwest. They can be there 6 months a year in the retirement center in the north and go 6 months a year to the retirement center in the south. There are people that do that. And so you have a lot, you basically are in great health in the retirement center. And the meals you can choose to cook in your apartment or your little bungalow house, or you can go to the dining room.
Oh,
and they're different ones. They're costly, but they are resource. If you call their human resource department, they in the retirement center and in assisted living, they will give you a lot of great information, agencies you don't know that are in mom and dad's community, things that you should be careful of. Don't go, don't do this, do this. Call this one, don't call that one.
And Suzanne, speaking of information and resources, you are one of the best that we have ever seen. I would like to encourage you to think about teaching workshops in this in your own local area, not that you have the time to do that, not that you'll be able to get out to do that, but perhaps at some future point or maybe in your dreams at night. Suzanne, again, thank you so much for sharing a wealth of information for our listeners, and that concludes our show tonight. You've been listening to Awakening, Talks with Compelling People. I'm Connie Shaw, and our guest was Suzanne Shaw of Danville, Indiana. Thanks for being with us. Visit our website at connieshaw.com and listen next time. Remember, you can make a huge difference by sharing your love, talent, and experience to alleviate human suffering. Please commit to joining or creating a selfless service project in your community today.